On Church Street in Burlington, Vermont, you can buy 37 varieties of designer chocolate, a pair of $178 blue jeans, and sample scores of craft beer. You can't get a hammer, fill a prescription, or buy a quart of milk. And don't even think about purchasing a pack of cigarettes. Even if you could, you can't light up on this smoke-free boutique avenue. Three floors up in a nondescript office building with a small Bernie 2016 sign in the window, a throng of fresh-faced college-age folks are clicking away on laptops. There you can fork up $15 for a union-made Bernie for President t-shirt or take home a free lawn sign or bumper strip. Welcome to ground zero of the improbable presidential campaign of Vermont's left-leaning U.S. Senator Bernard Sanders, known universally as Bernie, a rumpled curmudgeon who combs his nimbus of white hair with a fan. The 73-year-old fixture of Vermont politics has emerged as the leading challenger to Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton. Sanders has been drawing big crowds at rallies in such liberal bastions as Madison, Wisconsin, and Portland, Maine. He has leveraged the power of internet fundraising to harvest more than $15 million in campaign money. While Clinton rakes in money from Wall Street and $1,000 per person fundraisers in such venues as East Greenwich and the Hamptons, the average Sanders donation is less than $50. Sanders' campaign is run by a coterie of loyalists who have been with him for decades. Some hail back to 1981 when he stunned his adopted state by winning election as mayor of Burlington, the scenic, new agey college town that is his small state's largest city. He defeated a local Democratic machine that had become so rusty it couldn't steal a 10-vote election. Burlington's home to the University of Vermont. Once a dozy college town, the city has evolved into a center for arts, innovation, and tourism. The Church Street boutiques near his campaign headquarters cater to the well-off, but Sanders doesn't. He's a self-described small-D socialist who's running as a working-class hero. So far, he has given Clinton heartburn as he gains traction in the two early caucus and primary states of Iowa and New Hampshire. In May, Clinton was sitting on a 34-point lead in polls in the kickoff primary of New Hampshire. A recent poll showed her lead over Sanders has dwindled to 8 points. Clinton supporters have noticed. Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill went on a cable TV show to describe Sanders' economic proposals as, quote, extreme. She also blasted the media for failing to mention often enough that Sanders is a socialist. Sanders' message is focused on income inequality. He supports free public college tuition, raising the minimum wage to $15, and raising taxes on the wealthy to pay for infrastructure investments and protecting Social Security. He speaks to the anxieties of voters who worry their children won't have access to equal opportunity and move up the economic ladder. In an era when populism dominates politics on both the left and right, some observers see Sanders as a flash in the pan, picking up steam only among voters who resemble his Vermont constituents, white, educated liberals. Even if he wins in Iowa and New Hampshire, skeptics wonder how he will connect with such core Democratic voting groups as African Americans, Latinos, and union members. Vermont is one of the whitest states in the country, and labor unions are not strong. Sanders has never run a negative television spot in 40 years in politics. His top consultant, Providence native Tad Devine, says that even if he wanted to make an attack ad, Sanders wouldn't let him. Despite his fundraising prowess and traction in polls, Sanders remains the longest of shots to win the Democratic nomination. His allies say that he's made a career by being underestimated in election after election. And they point to 2008, when an Illinois senator named Barack Hussein Obama vaulted from obscurity to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.